She said she was going to leave him. Every week, every lie. She told me they didn't sleep in the same bed, didn't even love each other anymore, and that it was just the kids keeping her under his roof. I believed her. I waited. I risked everything. Until the night her husband found out, and what started as whispers in the dark exploded into blood on the floor. Now one of us is dead, and the other is left haunted by the truth. She never planned to leave him. She planned to survive us both. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. It started with a whisper. I wasn't looking for her. Not in that way. It started at the gym, of all places. I'd seen her a few times, that kind of beautiful, that doesn't even try. Not overdone. Not attention-seeking. Just effortless. Tight black leggings, messy bun, no makeup. Yet she lit up every room she walked into. I never even thought to approach her. Married woman. Left ring finger. Done deal. But then she smiled. And just like that, the rules I lived by started to shift. She came over to the bench press one day. Said I had good form. Said most guys jerk the weight. But I had control. I laughed it off. Thanked her. But I noticed her hand. No ring. You must work out here a lot, I said. Only when I need to breathe, she replied. Holmes. Complicated. That was her first whisper. Her name was Layla. 3 kids. Married. But as she told it, only in name. Her husband, she said, slept in the guest room. They barely spoke. She stayed for the children. If it wasn't for them, I would have been gone a long time ago, she whispered one evening in the back of my car. I asked her why she hadn't left. She gave me those soft eyes, wet with what looked like sadness, and said, because I'm scared, not of him, of being alone. That pulled me in. I didn't plan to fall for a married woman. I swear I didn't. But the more she confided in me, the more I wanted to protect her. She said he never hit her, but he didn't love her either. He stopped touching her years ago, stopped listening, stopped seeing her. And I, foolish, hopeful, believed I could be the one to make her feel seen again. At first, we just talked. DMs turned into long phone calls after midnight. Quick lunches turned into late-night meetups in parking lots, then cheap motels. She always made me feel like I was her secret escape, her safety. But every time I brought up leaving him, she would hesitate. It's not that simple, she'd say. The kids would never forgive me. He'd take the house. He has dirt on me. My mother would disown me. It was always something. I told myself to be patient, that love takes time, that I was in this for the long haul because we were real. And Layla knew how to keep me close. She'd cry when I got distant. She'd send photos when I stopped texting. She'd beg me not to give up on her. She'd say, "Don't leave me now. I need you more than ever." She knew how to play lonely like it was a violin, and I was the fool dancing to every note. One night I got bold. "Come stay with me," I said. "I've got a spare room. You and the kids. If you really want out, I'll help." She looked at me, half smiling. "You'd do that for me?" "Yeah." Then she kissed me like no one ever had. With desperation. With fire. Like she needed me more than oxygen. That kiss felt like a promise. I thought it was the start of something real. But the next day, she ghosted me. No calls, no texts, just silence. Then late that night, I got a single message. He's starting to suspect. I need to be careful. Please don't give up on me. And like a damn fool, I didn't. I told myself love was messy. That she was in a cage, and I was her key. That the lies, the distance, the silence, it was all part of a painful process. I told myself we were building something stronger than most people ever get to feel. But I couldn't shake this sick feeling in my chest. Like I was being strung along. Like I was falling in love with a ghost. Still, I stayed. Still, I waited. Still, I believed every whisper she told me in the dark. That they didn't share a bed. That he was emotionally gone. That she was already halfway out the door. I didn't know it yet, but I wasn't the only one living a double life. And what came next? That would change everything. Chapter 2. Secret Spaces. They say affairs live in shadows, but with Layla, it felt like we built an entire world out of them. We met in parking garages, in alleyways behind restaurants, once in the back of a church parking lot during Bible study night. How's that for irony? She never wanted to be seen. Said her husband had friends everywhere. Said the kids couldn't find out. Said nobody could know. And I played my part. I kept my mouth shut. I didn't post. I didn't ask to meet her friends. I didn't even call during the day, unless she texted first. She had rules, and I followed them like gospel. But the secrecy, it started to eat at me. "Don't you want to be free?" I asked one night as we lay in a motel bed, sheets still twisted around our legs. She had that far-off look again, like her mind had left the room and traveled somewhere I couldn't follow. "I do," she whispered. "You have no idea how bad I want that." "So why not go?" I asked. "You say he doesn't touch you. You say it's dead. So what's keeping you there?" Her eyes filled with tears. And that's the thing about Layla. She always knew how to cry at the perfect moment. "The kids," she said, her voice barely there. "I don't want them growing up in a broken home." "But they already are." She didn't respond. Just turned her face into my chest and stayed quiet. That was her way of ending conversations she didn't want to finish. And me? I didn't push. Because when she was in my arms, it felt like the world went quiet. She gave me enough to stay hooked. Little promises. Hints about leaving. Slips like, "I looked at apartments today," or "I started a secret bank account." Once, she even sent me a picture of a rental listing and said, "Could you see me here?" I said yes. Of course I could. I imagined us living there, cooking together, the kids playing in the yard. I imagined waking up next to her without needing to sneak around like a damn criminal. But nothing ever came of it. Weeks passed, then months, and something started to shift. She grew cold when I asked questions. She got defensive if I wanted more time. She'd say I was being needy, that I didn't understand how hard her life was, that I was acting just like him. That word hit like a slap. Him. I didn't want to be anything like her husband, the man who, according to her, treated her like a roommate and barely looked at her anymore. And yet, somehow, I was starting to feel like the one in the shadows, begging for her attention while she ran the show. I started noticing the patterns. She'd disappear for entire weekends. She'd cancel plans last minute, always with an excuse about the kids or some sudden crisis. And when I said I was tired of being the secret, she said, "Then go. But don't expect me to survive it." And just like that, I'd fold. Every time. She had this way of making me feel responsible for her sadness. Like my love was the only thing keeping her afloat. And I believed it. God help me. I believed it. Until one night, I saw something I wasn't supposed to see. We were supposed to meet at the usual motel. I got there early, parked 2 blocks away, and waited, like I always did. But she was late. Almost an hour. I started getting that feeling again. Like something wasn't right. So I walked toward the motel to wait in the lobby. That's when I saw them. Layla and her husband walking into the motel together. Not talking, not fighting, just walking in like it was a normal thing. I ducked behind a car, heart pounding, my mind trying to explain it away. Maybe it was a confrontation. Maybe she brought him there to confess everything. Maybe. But then she laughed. She turned toward him and smiled. The kind of smile she gave me when we first started. Software sweet. Intimate. And that's when my stomach dropped. Everything she told me. The separate rooms. The cold silences. The dead marriage. What if it was all a lie? What if I wasn't her escape? What if I was just her game? I didn't sleep that night. I didn't call. I didn't text. I waited for her to explain, to come clean, to tell me the truth. And the next morning, I got a text that said, "Sorry, babe. Emergency with the kids. Had to take them to their dad's work event. Can we reschedule?" Her dad's work event. She didn't know I'd seen her. She didn't know the truth was cracking open. But I knew one thing for sure. Whatever this was, it wasn't love. It was manipulation. And someone was going to get hurt. Chapter 3. The clock is always ticking. Days turned into weeks, and every hour felt like it came with a new excuse. She never brought up that motel night. Never mentioned I might have seen her. Just acted like everything was normal. Like we were still building something real. And me? I played along. At first, because love makes fools of men. And I was deep in it. But my mind wouldn't rest. I started questioning everything. Every word. Every story. Every "he doesn't touch me. And I'm only here for the kids." I replayed our conversations in my head, like old voicemails, looking for the lies I had missed. And the more I looked, the more I found. She said they didn't sleep in the same room. But one night, I called her at midnight, and a man answered. I hung up immediately. My heart damn near stopped. I waited. A minute passed. Then a text from her. "Sorry, dropped my phone. My son picked it up. Don't freak." I didn't respond. She called later, sounding annoyed. "You know I can't control everything that happens around me. I told you. I live in a war zone. Don't make it worse." And just like that, I was the problem again. The crazy one. The jealous one. The one who couldn't handle reality. But the cracks were getting wider. One evening, I followed her. Not far, just curiosity. She told me she had to run errands. I watched her pull into a driveway. Not hers, not a store. It was a house. A man came out. Not her husband. Tall, clean-cut, smiling. She hugged him, kissed his cheek. He carried groceries from her trunk. I didn't confront her. I just sat in my car, watching, hands gripping the wheel so tight my knuckles went white. Every fantasy I had about our future snapped like brittle glass. This wasn't love. This was a rotation. I wasn't the side guy. I was one of the side guys, and I started to spiral. I stopped texting, stopped picking up her calls. She messaged nonstop, called me dramatic, told me I was acting immature, that I was punishing her for being in a situation she didn't choose. She played the victim like it was second nature. And me? I was tired of being the fool in love with someone who wasn't even honest with herself. Until one night, she showed up at my door. Red eyes, hoodie, no makeup. "I need you," she whispered, stepping inside before I could stop her. "I didn't come here to fight. I don't know where else to go." I should have told her to leave, but my weakness wore her name. She collapsed into my arms, like the weight of the world had finally broken her back. I held her, even as my brain screamed at me to let go. Her lips brushed my neck. Her fingers found my hands. And before I knew it, we were tangled in each other again. The kind of desperate love that feels like drowning in slow motion. Afterward, she lay beside me and whispered, "One more month, then I'm out." "One more month?" I asked, trying to hide the anger in my voice. "Yeah," she said, tracing circles on my chest. "I need time. My youngest starts school. I can't pull them out right now. After that, I swear, I'm yours." I stared at the ceiling. "One more month. Just like she said last month. And the month before that. I knew better. But I stayed quiet. Because saying it out loud would have made it real. And part of me still wanted the dream. The fantasy that we'd beat the odds. That the lies would melt away. That love would somehow win. But deep down, I knew I was on a timer. And it was ticking faster than ever. Because if I had figured her out, it was only a matter of time before her husband did too. And unlike me, he wasn't going to play nice. Chapter 4. The Husband Knows. It was a Thursday. I remember because she always claimed Thursdays were kid nights. Said she had dinner with the little ones. Helped with homework. Then passed out by 10. But this time, she called me. Not texted, called. And said, "He knows." My chest tightened. "What do you mean, he knows?" "I don't know how," she whispered. "I don't know what he saw. Maybe a message. Maybe he followed me. But he looked at me tonight like he wanted to kill me." I stayed silent. Part of me wanted to ask, did he see us? The other part already knew the answer. Then she said it. "He asked if I was sleeping with someone." "What did you say?" I lied. "Of course she did. I told him no. I told him he was crazy. But I don't know if he believed me." I didn't speak. She continued, "You need to be careful, okay? Don't text me for a few days. Don't show up. Lay low." Lay low? As if this was a heist, not my life. As if I hadn't given her everything. Time, energy, love, secrecy. And now I was just some liability she needed to tuck away like a dirty secret. I hung up on her. That night, I didn't sleep. I thought about every lie, every excuse. Thought about how I wasn't just betraying another man. I was betraying myself. Becoming the version of me I swore I'd never be. A man hidden. A man used. The next day I saw them. Layla and her husband. At the grocery store. Just down the aisle. Holding hands. Smiling. Smiling. She saw me too. Her face didn't break. She didn't flinch. She just gave me a glance. Soft. Silent. Like she was daring me to say something. I left before I did. That night she called. I ignored it. She texted. It's for appearances. He suspects. I have to act normal. Please don't take it personally. Act normal? I stared at my phone, heart thumping. Rage burned in my chest. Not jealousy. Disrespect. I wasn't just her secret. I was her shield. Her excuse. Her fantasy escape when things at home got inconvenient. I texted back one word. Done. She didn't respond. A day passed. Then two. By day three, I got the knock. Heavy. Aggressive. I opened the door, and there he was. Her husband. His name was Marcus. Big guy. Bigger energy. The type who didn't have to raise his voice to make you feel small. You him? He asked. I didn't answer. You're the one fucking my wife? Still, silence. Then, before I could think, he swung. Hard. Fist to jaw. I stumbled back. Hit the wall. Tasted blood. I saw red. And I snapped. Everything I'd been holding in. The betrayal. The humiliation. The lies. Exploded out of me. I came back swinging. Fist to face. Knee to ribs. We slammed into furniture. Broke a lamp. Shattered glass. We weren't just fighting over a woman. We were fighting over the truth. But something changed. Something shifted. He grabbed a vase and swung wide. I ducked. Grabbed his arm. We fell. And then, he didn't move. Blood pooled near his head. His chest rose, then stopped. My heart slammed in my ears. No. No, no, no. I knelt beside him. Shook him. Nothing. Just silence. Thick. Final. The kind that doesn't leave room for questions. He was dead. Dead in my apartment. Dead because of her. And as I sat there, hands shaking, breath gone, I thought one thing. Where the hell is Layla? Because I knew one thing now with absolute certainty. She set us both up. Chapter 5. The Night We Bled. I didn't run. I just sat there, staring at his body, like time had frozen. Blood oozed from the back of his skull, slowly creeping across the floor toward the broken pieces of the lamp. The room smelled like sweat, rage, and something final. My hands were shaking. My jaw throbbed from where he hit me, but none of that mattered. Marcus, her husband, was dead, and I was the one left holding the guilt. I reached for my phone, dialed. My thumb hovered over the last digit for 30 seconds. Then I hung up. What the hell do I say? Hey, I just killed a man in self-defense. Because I was sleeping with his wife. Number, I couldn't think straight, so I called her. Layla. Of course she didn't pick up. I texted, your husband is dead. Come now. Still no response. And then, like she'd been waiting to see how far I'd fall, she finally called. What did you just say? Her voice, a whisper wrapped in panic. I said he's dead. Your husband is lying on my floor, bleeding, not breathing. The line was quiet, too quiet. You serious? She said, finally. I didn't mean to. He came at me. He hit me first. Still silence. Then, don't do anything. I'll be there in 20. She hung up. And in those 20 minutes, I sat on the floor, knees up, hands stained with someone else's life. I stared at the man who was once a husband, a father, a living, breathing human being. And now he was just gone. And all because of her. Because of her games. Her lies. Her whispers in the dark. When she arrived, she didn't even cry. Didn't scream. Didn't fall apart. She just walked in, saw his body, and said, "Damn." I looked at her. "That's all you're gonna say?" "What do you want me to say?" she snapped. "You think I planned this? That I wanted him to show up and fight you?" I stood. My voice cracked. "I don't know what the hell you wanted anymore, Layla." She knelt beside Marcos's body. Checked his neck for a pulse. Like maybe there was still time to rewind the worst mistake of our lives. Then she stood. Wiped her hands on her jeans. "You have to get out of here." "What?" "If you stay, it's murder. If you run, maybe they think he came here to threaten you. Maybe it's self-defense. But if you call the cops now, with your record..." She looked me dead in the eyes. "You're finished." My stomach twisted. "You said you loved me." "I do." "Then why are you acting like this is just cleanup duty?" She walked toward the window, drew the blinds shut, then turned to me. "Because I'm not gonna let the father of my children go down as some cheating monster who died in another man's apartment." And there it was. The truth. Raw. Brutal. Undeniable. She wasn't protecting me. She was protecting his name. His legacy. His image. Because she still belonged to him. No matter what story she fed me. In hotel rooms and back seats. "You set me up," I said quietly. She flinched. "I didn't plan this." "But you let it happen." She didn't deny it. That's what hurt the most. I turned toward the door. "I'm calling the cops." "You do that, and I'll tell them you were obsessed. That you threatened him. That you lured him here." I froze. "You wouldn't. Try me." And in that moment, I saw it. The cold, calculating side of her that hid behind tears and half-truths. The part that never loved me, just used me, like a bandage, like a getaway car, like a pawn. "I'm not going down for this," I whispered. She stepped closer. "Then don't." "What do you want from me, Layla?" She leaned in, her voice was soft, almost seductive. "I want you to walk away. Let me handle it. Trust me. One last time." I looked into her eyes, and all I saw was darkness, but I nodded, because deep down, I still wanted to believe that something about this was real, that all the nights, all the words, all the lies, meant something, even if it killed me. Chapter 6. Aftermath and Alibis. I didn't sleep that night. I drove, for hours. No destination, just a blur of headlights and guilt. I turned my phone off, changed clothes at a gas station, wiped down the steering wheel with a napkin, like I was in some crime drama. But this wasn't TV. This was real. A man was dead, and I had helped cover it up. Layla said she would take care of everything. I didn't know what that meant. She was calm. Too calm. Said she needed to make a few calls, clean up some things, move the body before morning. She even had a story ready. Her husband went missing after storming out during an argument. She asked me to disappear. I did. For 2 days. Stayed at a cheap motel off the highway. No Wi-Fi. No cameras. I didn't leave the room. I didn't eat. My mind spun non-stop, replaying that night on a loop. The sound of his skull hitting the floor. The blood. Her face. That awful, emotionless calm. I couldn't take it anymore. I turned my phone back on. 37 missed calls. Most from Layla. a few from unknown numbers, one from her sister, who I'd never even met. And then, a news alert. Local man missing. Foul play suspected. It was Marcus. A photo of him holding his youngest daughter, smiling. The headline said he hadn't been seen since Thursday night. His wife, Layla, was asking for help from the community. She looked devastated in the photo. Tear-streaked cheeks, puffy eyes. Even had a GoFundMe running for the children. I stared at the screen, stunned. This woman was a professional. While I sat in a motel room, losing my mind, she was online, collecting sympathy and donations. She was already rewriting the narrative, turning herself into the grieving wife and single mother left behind. I was never in the story, not even a footnote. Then she called. I answered. "I told you I'd handle it," she whispered. "Where is he?" I asked. "I buried him." Silence. "You what?" "He's gone. No trace. The house is clean. There's no security footage, no GPS data, and I've got 3 people who can vouch that he left in a rage. You're safe. We're safe." I couldn't breathe. She buried him. Like he was garbage. Like he was an inconvenience to be dealt with quietly. "You're insane," I said. She didn't respond. So I asked, "Why me, Layla? Why drag me into this?" Her voice dropped to something cold, calculated. "Because you were useful. Because you loved me. And because you were stupid enough to think I was ever gonna leave him." There it was. The real her. Not the broken wife. Not the scared mother. The manipulator. She had orchestrated everything. Maybe not the fight. Maybe not the exact moment he died. But everything else. It was by design. She fed me just enough to keep me hungry. Just enough truth to cover the lies. And when it all went bad, she cleaned it up like a pro. "You were never gonna leave him," I whispered. "Of course not," she said. "He was the father of my kids. He owned the house. He paid the bills. You were a vacation baby. And now, the vacation's over." "I could go to the police," I said. "No, you won't." "Why not?" "Because you're not built like that. You don't want the world to know who you really are. A homewrecker. A coward. A killer." I said nothing. She was right. Part of me wanted to scream. The other part wanted to crawl into a hole and vanish. Then she added, "If you ever try to drag me down, I'll burn you to the ground. You hear me?" I hung up, and for the first time in my life, I knew exactly what hell looked like. It wasn't fire. It wasn't demons. It was a woman who could cry on cue and lie without blinking. Chapter 7. She stayed. 6 months later, I saw her on TV. Channel 7, mid-morning news. The anchor smiled as they introduced a local mother of 3 who turned tragedy into purpose. The screen cut to Layla. Fresh curls, tasteful makeup, a black dress with just enough shoulder showing to say morning and moving on at the same time. She stood behind a podium, speaking at a domestic violence awareness fundraiser in his name. "Marcus was a complex man," she said softly. "But he was a good father, a provider. And even though our marriage had its struggles, I never stopped loving him." Applause. Tears welled in her eyes, perfectly timed. The camera panned to her children. 2 boys and a girl, dressed in matching dark outfits. Behind them stood a photo collage. Marcus as a dad. Marcus on vacation. Marcus at church. A halo of memory built around the man she claimed had walked out and never came home. I nearly threw the remote through the screen. This woman didn't just erase me. She rewrote him. She took the man she said was cold and abusive and turned him into a martyr, a tragic hero, and no one questioned it. No one saw the blood beneath her smile, not even his family. A few weeks later, I drove past her neighborhood. The lights were on, the curtains open, the same house, same porch swing, same flower beds he used to maintain. She never moved, she stayed. She kept the house, and every now and then, I'd catch her in the window, sipping wine, scrolling her phone, smiling. She didn't just survive the storm. She was the storm. I tried to move on, changed my number, deleted old photos, went to therapy, told my mother I had a breakdown, left out the part where someone died, and I helped bury the truth. But the guilt never left. Some nights, I still hear the thud of his body hitting the floor. Still see her face, not panicked, not broken, calculating, like she'd rehearsed that moment her whole life. The police never found his body. No charges, no suspects. Just another black man, labeled as a domestic dispute gone wrong and a disappearance without closure. Sometimes I wonder if she planted something on him. Maybe a fake affair, a shady financial trail. Something to explain his breakdown. Because by the time the world heard her side, the truth was already buried deeper than Marcus ever was. And me? I carry the secret. Every day. Because if I speak, I go down too. And the worst part, she knew that. From the start. So I leave. Haunted. Alone. A ghost that walks in daylight, always looking over my shoulder, wondering if the truth will ever come knocking. But the world loves a grieving widow, especially one who smiles through pain and cries on cue. And Layla, she's not grieving, she's winning.